God's objective for us is that we come to the place that it's no longer us speaking, but God has the right to speak through us. And Jesus was the forerunner, the example, the type, the pattern. And I want to read you something, and then I want to tell you a story. In John 14:9, a famous scripture for a certain segment of religiosity. Is that the right way? I made up the word, but anyway. In John 14:9, it says, Jesus says, "Have I been so long time with you, and have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now that's pretty obvious. Jesus is his own Father. "And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" You know what? Here's what you do. You want to have a good doctrine? Isolate that verse. Verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Translate that. How do we get works out of this? But the Father that dwells in me, he's the one that is speaking these words. He's doing the works. And so, I have good days, good experiences, I have bad experiences, and a lot of the bad ones are of my own making, you know what I mean? But we had a phenomenal experience the other day, and we went down to pray with Sue, and Sue is always a blessing anyway, but her sister Lori was there. And I want you to assure Sue that even though Lori is bubbly and whatever else, that she's right in our category. That's right who we are. That's where we are. We love it. And she was ecstatic because we haven't seen her and Rod for a number of years. And even though he listens to all of the CDs and she said that he'll take them to work with him, some of them, and he listened to the scriptures day and night. And she was apologizing a little bit to me, and she said, "We even leave them on when we're gone. Is that okay to do that?" And I said, "We do too." So, if it's okay, hopefully it's okay for both of us to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, in case somebody breaks in, they may.
Yeah. But anyway. And then she made a statement, and she was unsure of it, and I had to hesitate. This will be on the CD here, of course, but she said, "Rod keeps, every so often he tells me something. He says, you know what? I was listening to that CD, and I was listening to Keith talk, and all of a sudden I wasn't hearing him anymore." And anyway, so that could be, it could sound kind of foolish. She says, "I was actually hearing the Spirit." And you know what? That doesn't do anything to puff me up or elevate me or make me feel. I felt good. And I tell you why. Did you hear the scripture I just read? "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." We are to come to the place that that happens. I began to understand Jesus. And what has happened is that we have made him his own Father. We've made him deity. And when you do, how do you untangle these words? Well, anyway, for what that's worth, and I am not exalting myself over that. I received that in a very humble state of mind, and I thought, that is an objective. God said, I will put my words in his mouth. Now this came on the heels of this vision or this experience that I had, that I shared the dream that I had this one night, where there was a number, I think maybe you guys, I don't know, we're up in the front and the church was full of people. And I don't know if they were, I mean, I've been in front of people that were upset with me. I've been in front of people that liked me. I've been on both sides of this thing, but I don't know if they liked me or didn't like me, but there was lots of people in the church. And somebody would raise their hand and ask a question, and I had an answer. I couldn't give it. Before I got a chance to give my answer, out from me would come a whole passel of scriptures. And the people would just sit back, and I could see them. They were just like they were dumbfounded. It's kind of like they said about Jesus, how does he know these things never having been taught? Where does all this come from? And the answer to this thing is that if we take in the Word of God enough, Ron played a song and anyway about the Lord speaking through the power of His Word. How does it say that? But anyway, we want to hear God. God said, if you want to find me in that experience I had, you got to look for me where I am. Well, now we understand. We hear Him through the Word. We actually begin to hear God through the Word. Or we hear a letter that kills us. We either hear the Spirit or we hear a letter. We hear one or the other. And so I said all this to say, to tell you a little story. We went out to this thing at the on Sioux the other day at
airport
service bus thing, whatever it is, and I noticed that there's more and more separation between me and a lot of people who used to be my friends. It's pretty obvious. They're not this close and they're not as free and they're. But anyway, and I can understand why. A lot of people are listening to these messages that I bring on Sunday nights. And some of them, there are a lot of Nicodemuses and I know that they're there. There are those that are hearing it and are understanding and agreeing. And I've met a couple. They never said that, but I knew that they did. And, you know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be seen. And so I was sitting there, and somebody came and sat down by me, and we started to talk about things. A friend, somebody that I love dearly. We're sitting there talking, and I had said nothing. I've got to the place I say nothing about listening to the Scriptures. Because just me saying anything to anybody about mentioning to the Scriptures is irritating. It used to be when we started out 14 years ago, people would say, you can't go wrong by doing that. That's not what I hear anymore. So we're sitting there and I said, Sue's sister Lori and her husband, Rod, have been listening to the Scriptures for quite a few years, and Rod's life has been totally transformed by the Word of God. And this individual, we were having a conversation, and this individual, and something happened, just boom, like that. And the next thing I knew, he said, we've been going, we found a really, really good church to go to. And that pastor is a wonderful man. He is a wonderful, wonderful man. And his assistant, he's never seen anything like him. He has a goatee, he rides a motorcycle back and around, and I thought, what's this all about? It was a defense. And so anyway, I thought, I am sorry I brought it up. But Rod's life has been transformed. by the scriptures. So is mine. And but what this did is it made me understand something. The scriptures, through the eyes of the Spirit, don't even resemble what men see through the letter. They're not the same. And the vast majority of church goers don't have a clue as to what God actually meant by what he said. And it's not that we do. I'm not saying we do. Because what God meant by what God said is so vast and so beyond our comprehension that we can add all of us together and everybody else in the world and have all the revelation we want, and we still don't understand. That is how vast and awesome the God of creation is. And but I realized something, and it didn't have to do with that conversation, but I understood something. When we were a part of Community Chapel, this wasn't the Word of God. The pastor was. Are you following me? The pastor becomes the Word of God in church after church after church. I didn't do a very good job of it, but I did everything I could to become the Word of God to this church. But I don't do real good. And because I don't have the nature to do that. But I know several churches. I know one church very well. I know the pastor that was there. He ran things with an iron thumb, iron hand, however you say it. He ran the church. And then after he ran the church like that, then he ran off with the church secretary. And so then another person came in, and we knew this fellow really, real good. Joanne and I did. And came from somewhere. And so anyway, and so, but he had different ideas. So now the church changes horses in the middle of the stream. Because he didn't see it the way the other guy saw it. Are you understanding me? Mm-hmm. He didn't see the way he did. So then this fellow got frustrated. And I don't blame him, because he was put in the middle of a mess. And Joanne and I knew him really well, and so then he left, and somebody else took over the church that saw things totally different than these other two. Well, you know, what we have now is we have three words of God. Are you following what I'm saying? The pastor becomes the Word of God to the church. And it is hard to get out of the way and let the Word of God be the Word of God. You know why? Because I'm positive that this is what God meant by what he said. I'm sure of it. I'm so sure of it that I will stake the lives of and the souls of all of these people on what I believe. And so, we changed horses. But anyway, that was an experience the other day, and I thought, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that Rod is doing so good with the scriptures. I didn't mean to create a problem either.
You know, I've caused lots of problems over the years, and I've never meant to cause any of them.
You're just troubled, Keith.
I am. I'm troubled.
Well, guess what? You'll get along.
I get trouble and problems too, and it's almost always me. Well, we'll give a little benefit of the doubt. I was listening to... I'll make a confession first. Keith shared a little bit of this. I don't know when it was we ran into each other. Oh, maybe it was at the benefit. About God speaking, you know. And to be truthful, I got a little fearful. Because I thought, oh boy, I don't know. Because I look at my own self. And but as I was laying here this morning and listening now, it is true. The tricky part is that you're grounded enough to know that it's true. You know, I mean, that you've maybe been refined enough that you don't give in to the fact that it's me. You know, that's a tough one. That's hard. But, you know what will help solve a little bit of the dilemma of someone speaking as though God speaking through them? Many speaking as God speaking through them.
Yes, amen.
Because then they can't just go, well, that's, yeah, but why is he, and why is she, and maybe something is going on, you know? And so on that premise, what happened is I've been... I don't know how to explain this, but I've been going through some stuff. You know, I've been looking at myself and feeling some, you know, conviction and a little frustration. It's like I'm starting to feel this urge that something's got to come out because it's driving me crazy somewhat, and I'm not happy just trying to just go along, you know. But I want to wait on the Lord. But a little light came this morning. I've done this. I don't know how many times. I get up and I go, well, today I'm just going to listen. I'm not going to try to bring that. I don't want to bring nothing because I don't feel nothing the Lord's given or anything, you know. And then I sit down and I start reading through the scripture, and pretty soon in 15 minutes I'm going, oh boy, this is good, you know. And so I was listening to a... No, I listened to something. I was looking for it, and I came across... this setting, I got to make sure I get my things in order here. It was, where did I mark it wrong? It was when Jesus, well, it's when... I have a place that it refers to a psalm, and it's when Jesus came in to the synagogue, and he, you know, started throwing the money changers out and all that, you know, that time, that situation. And in the scriptures, at the end of the verse, it said, because he says, for you have, why didn't I mark that one? I marked all these, but because the wording kind of has, you know, it has to be said right. But he said, you have given me a zeal for your house. I think that's how it is. So I thought, and it gave Psalm 69:9. Oh, well, and here it's worded a little different. It says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's what's forming.
Yes, it is.
I couldn't figure out for sure, am I just getting mad in myself? Or is there some self, you know, some righteousness that's of God that's happening? And that's what it is.
Yes, it is.
The time is coming when God is going to send people out with a zeal that is eating them up for his house, and they are going to speak Because it's time. The time was right then. And I'll tell you what, it's very interesting to read Psalm 69 all around that setting. I guess I won't take the time now, but if you get a chance, read Psalm 69, because there's things about David that he's saying, you know, and what's happening is, you know, he's in one of them places that we get in all the time. Like, you're surrounded. And you feel like, no matter what I say I do, I got these people that hate me, that don't like me, don't want to be around me, want to bring me down, you know. But in part of when he's saying that, he's going, oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Then I weep and chastise in my soul with fasting that became my reproach. Anyway, it's interesting, right? At the end, that was in 10, but in verse 12 it says, those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Wow. You know? But, see, it's like the church has done some of this stuff. That's where we, the church, have been. You know, those who hate me without a cause. Well, here's an answer to some. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered, you know. But in this here, it's like, well, like it's, and this was interesting because it's a referral to what happened to Christ on the cross. I thought, isn't this interesting? Because he's saying, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. You know what? People are thirsting and hungry out there, and we as the church have been giving them vinegar and gall.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so still the people cry out with because they are unsatisfied. You know? And so, keeping that in mind, you never know when you're going to talk to the one who's in that place. And all of a sudden they're going to go, are you kidding? Is there maybe an answer? You know? Is there hope? And I'm going to be careful. I don't want to share much of this from up here, but I can do it later or whatever after, but in a pretty heavy conversation again, and people just do not want to hear that what they've been doing is not what's working. They just don't want to hear it. No, I know I've been doing good, I've been doing right. But see, and I used to say stuff like that until all of a sudden, 14 years ago, a certain standard got raised. According to who and what?
Yeah.
According to who and what?
That's good.
Well, all of a sudden, I found out I got to stand up to this word. This is where I'm accountable. And, you know, see, nobody wants to hear nowadays that there is one truth. And actually, they don't even want to hear that truth is even important. That's a biggie. I've been thinking on that a lot in the last 3 weeks. Truth. What, actually, if you stop and just shut your brain down a little, what can be better than truth? Because anything that's not truth is false, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there is not a kind of, well, yeah, but there's a kind of in-between. No, there isn't. There isn't an in-between. I mean, man has made an in-between to satisfy his conscience.
Yeah.
You know? So it, you know, it is just hard to stand in front of somebody and not know how to say or try in your best to say, but you haven't gone here. How can you say? How do you know if you haven't gone here? Because anything, you know, I thought about this morning, see, anything that we get that doesn't come from here is tainted. But it takes a long time to get to that point.
Yes, it does.
That you even see that.
Yes, it does.
I didn't see that 14 years ago. I didn't see it for the next 5, 6, who knows how many years.
I didn't either.
You know? So, if something doesn't happen in you, and you know what? Me, you, there is no way you're going to make this part happen in anybody. That they come to that realization to give up and go to this. And that's between them and God. And as much as you can love somebody and give, you could give your whole life for them, you're not going to bring that about.
No.
If they're not the elect, you're not going to bring it about. You know? And so, it's really hard. So then this morning I was thinking, but you know what you do look for? And I didn't see this yesterday. I think I would call it God gave a discernment. But if you can see that there's a struggle with their flesh and their spirit, then don't give up hope. Mm-hmm. See, because I don't, like with me or with you, none of us know where that person, where God is with that person in that struggle. But at the same time, you may have to walk away.
Yeah.
For a while or whatever. Because, you know, you're not going to, you're probably not, I don't think, I mean, speaking from experience a little bit, you're probably not going to create that or bring about the good out of that situation, you know. Because somehow, people have to, they got to turn to God. And you know, and it's so true, the saying, if you believe God, and you say you do, then you got to find out what he meant by what he said. And that gets you, I love that term though, and for the longest time I couldn't remember how to say it. You know, because it was kind of a twist. But you do, if you got to come to that place. And if you don't, you can go on all you want thinking you're doing great and you're coming up with your own spiritual program, which is what most people do. I've done it. And you know what? If you don't change, you're going to end up in the pit. Sorry to say. And that's hard. And you know, and it's a struggle when, I mean, because we all, if your heart's right, you want to help people, you know? But, I don't, you know, you gotta be in the will of God. You gotta be in the will of God. And so anyway, I feel that building. I truly think that is such a light all of a sudden in some darkness. A zeal for his house.
Yeah.
That says sooner or later, you'll walk in the midst of them and speak the truth. As best as God's given it to you. You know, I want to say something like, yes, we're in the dark. God's a mystery. A huge mystery. And someone mentioned that. But he's is always going to be a mystery if you don't go to this. I mean, he'll really be a mystery if you don't go to this. But it says, if you go to this and you gain truth, you will learn the mysteries of God. How many? I don't care. If he wants to give me two, I'm happy. One. Anything. You know? And I don't want to, you know, delve in it. But now I remember where that was. You related that to me that someone said, well, you start going there, that's kind of in the mist. And I won't say any more because you might have something to share on that. But you know what? And it's funny because when people start using that, and if they're out in ministry, they've copped out. You know? Well, yeah, but if you start talking about that, you're gonna make waves. Yes. Yes. Waves of truth. Do you want to be flooded by lies or washed over by the truth? You know, if you need a type. Thank you.
Remember what Jesus did when he said, seal this house is eating me up. He knocked over all the money changers' table and created a terrible mess. But anyway, there is a history book, a scholarly history book, religion history book, that is, the name of it is When Jesus Became God. And the gist of it is that he didn't become God until several hundred years after he lived. From the point of view of his followers, you know. And there's a historian that is, you know, wants to demonstrate that through history. There wasn't any expectation at the time that he was God. I don't know that I necessarily want to read the thing. You know, you start reading these secular things and it's grievous. But I don't know. Maybe I'd find it edifying. But anyway, there is this book out there. And I was reading some about it. And there were, of course, if you read the New Testament and it makes a claim that he's God, you know, in the Gospels and so forth, then this book can't be right because, you know, they were written. You follow, you know. So someone was arguing, no, that's not true. And they started citing a bunch of scriptures showing that, no, he was God. You know, the writer, he was trying to demonstrate that. And you know, those scriptures did not do that. They really didn't. They demonstrated he is a real glorious man that is in touch with God and full of God and so forth, you know. But they did not prove that he was God. And I was scratching my head by anyone who would think that they would prove that he was God. You know. Now how'd they get there from this? Just goes to show that, you know, you really can depend on your thinking processes. No. It just doesn't, you know, you can't do it. You can come up with anything. But anyway, my reason for raising all this was that those scriptures, the ones that they were trying to prove what Jesus is a God, if that's what they did, they would lose a whole bunch of encouragement to the people that are reading it. You know?
That's good.
You know, we have him as our example. He did it, we can do it too. You know? And you make those scriptures God, make him God as proven by those scriptures, and you're just robbed. You're robbed of, you're robbed.
Yeah.
of the kind of promises that are in those scriptures. You know, he's our older brother. He's our older brother. And we are to follow in his steps. Well, you don't do that with God, you do that with a man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just add to something that Ken was saying, and about what is available for us to understand. And in the natural, it will never happen. But in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I think verse 9, I just looked it up, I'm not sure if it's 9 or 8, but it says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You know that that's not the end of the sentence, of the statement? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. All of a sudden, we got, you know what I mean? We got a switcheroo here. Now it's like, you ain't going to get it in the natural. But God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. And it says, for the Spirit searches, yea, even the deep things of God. So what is available for us? I don't know. But I want to tell you, and you know, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another that you might be healed. And I'm getting older, and I can't change all that, and I don't want to. And I'm not complaining, really. But in the process, you start wondering, Lord, you have shown me all these things in dreams. When is it going to take place? And so once in a while, I get a little impatient. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, could you do something soon? You know what I mean? I mean, soon. I mean, it's looking to me like everything's falling apart. Could something happen soon? And then conviction. And when the Spirit came, there was a rushing, mighty wind. And anyway, I prayed and I said, Lord, I repent. You know exactly when to do what. Don't pay any attention to my stupidity here, my foolishness. Just ignore it and do it your way. And the other thing. I want to make sure that you understand when I was talking about that he said that he, you know, Rod said that he all of a sudden he lost track of me and it's like he could hear God speaking. Well, I want to tell you something else that happened, and this has happened to a number of people. And one of them is Cliff, and Cliff will hear this, but way, way back when I started sending out this, they were on cassettes then, I think, and then changed over to CDs, but he listened to the messages, and he was affected. It was like he started listening, all of them. And he said, they're different than anything I've ever heard. And he said, I'm trying to figure out what's different about him. There's something different about these messages. And then one day he told me what it was. He says, I could hear a preaching with authority. And we talked about it. I said, you know why? The closer you get to the Word of God, the more authority there is. Amen. Had nothing to do with me. But I had, and the thing, some of these things, like the statement that Ken made about what truth is what God meant by what he said. Not what I think God meant. It's what he actually meant. What is the meant? And that's what we just, you know, that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. But God has revealed him unto us by his Spirit. Yea, for the Spirit searches the deep things that are of God. So what is ahead of us? How big is God? I'm talking about an unlimited creator with no limitations. All things are possible with him. So, do you suppose within a couple of years we'll know everything about him? The more we know, the more we realize there is to know.
I've shared this before, but I think it's appropriate given some of the comments today. Many years ago, back when we were not following the Word of God as well as we should have, I was approached by someone who cared about me a great deal and was asking me about things that were being said and written about the church I was attending. And with the knowledge and the foundation of the Word of God at that time, meaning not a whole lot of either, I started to explain the situation, and the individual just looked at me for about 10 minutes and got done and said to me, "While you were talking, I saw Jesus and not you, and I'm extremely fine with everything that you said, and I'm going to ignore what people are saying." Now, that wasn't me, and clearly I didn't know, you know, 1/100th of what I know today. But my point is that, you know, God can use you and speak through you even in your imperfections.
Yes.
So fast forward to where we are today. I was sharing a little bit with Ken about a couple things, but at Sue's event on Saturday. But one of them, you know, and I've testified to this before, is, you know, I was freeloading. I was freeloading through my walk with God, because when I came here, initially, I was following the shepherd. Shepherd had to be on point. Me, I just had to be submissive. And that was good. And that worked. And that works in most churches, because very few churches really want to come out and say, "Work out your own fear and trembling between you and God." And it really doesn't matter what the pastor says, because that sort of breaks the whole "we're coming here and we're going to follow the leader" kind of thing. Yet it is what God says, so it is the more accurate word. So not every church structure can be like ours. And I marvel at the growth that I've seen in you when you share what's going on. Every one of us, I see huge leaps because of what God is doing in our lives, because we're searching for the truth. And I thank God for that, because it's not us. You know, we're kind of talking about the age-old problem of knowing when to go forth and when to be speaking. And I mean, we kind of, you know, we've got this building going on. And but there have been, you know, Ron's testimony 2 weeks ago about what's going on and how Susie's able to share God. And there's, you know, there's some, what's going on there? I mean, there are, God is creating times. I had an opportunity to speak with someone who is very solid in the scriptures. And we had a conversation, and the conversation kind of got deep. And, you know, I was going back and forth. And so I kind of just nudged a little bit against Trinity just to see what would happen there. And that's when the comment came back that Ken alluded to, "Well, you know, we're really not quite sure, we don't know," and, you know, there's a lot of tap dancing going on. And I go, okay, you know, on one hand, I can accept an answer that says, "I don't think I have the full revelation on God on that yet, and I'm waiting on it." On the other hand, if the answer is, well, I have some revelation on what God has here, but I really don't like it because it doesn't line up with what else I've got going on and where I've compartmentalized what my belief system is, then you got a problem. And the problem is, this is what I thought it is. It sort of looks like this is what it really is. And now I've got to make a choice. You know. And we've had people who've made choices. But you know, I'm just going to stand on the fact that if I continue to make the best choice I can with the revelation that I get and keep my heart open for new revelation. Because if you are over here and you can't move to where you need to be, that's on you. Because you're just not willing to admit you were wrong. And I'm now at the point where admitting I'm wrong is not a problem. Almost is too easy. I mean, you can't use it as a crutch. You know, we have to diligently seek. And we have to be okay that, yeah, God showed me. You know, I think one of the others have mentioned in the last few months, but, you know, Jesus having a conversation with Peter and asking him who he is, and he turns and he tells him, he says, "You're the Christ." And Jesus says, "That came from God, not from me." It's also a good distinction between God and not God. And yet, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, Jesus turns and wheels on him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, now, there might have been some time. It's hard to know when you go through the scriptures, but after kind of getting lifted up, in one hand saying that you're in tune with God, and getting slapped down pretty fast saying, "And you're still not there yet because you're still letting the devil have his way with you." I mean, I use that as an example of our ups and downs. You know, if Peter failed, I guess, okay, I'll cut myself a little slack that it's a process. And I'm going to have my ups and downs. I'm just comfortable with if we keep the goal to just try and stand on the word and let God do it, let God's timeline work, and be in God's will, I don't have to defend anything to anybody else. They can either accept me for that or not, but that's between them and God. Josh was one line in the Bible, you know, just as Moses is about to go up on the mountain. "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." You know, that's incredibly succinct, but it says a lot. If you just do that, you know, what else do you have to do?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank everybody for helping make the event we had for Susie on Friday just a really good experience. And it was really very touching, very overwhelming. She was just really thrilled by everybody and the response and everything. So thank you for everybody for helping make that such a great thing. Last week, Susie made a comment too. She said, "You know, I am just not afraid." There's only one place that can come from. There's only one source for that, that you can make that statement and truly mean it. You know, it's a lot easier to be afraid than to not be afraid. You know, but you know what? She made that comment and she meant it. She really has a peace.
That was not a verbal woman.
Yeah.
She has
a peace that she is in God's hands, and God is working in her and through her. You know, there's been, talk about, like what Keith was saying about my brother-in-law, Rod, and listening to Keith, and he began to hear the Spirit. Well, there was something to share that I've actually shared in the past, but several years ago, I had a dream. And I was standing in front of a bunch of people, and I was actually singing, which is a pretty big stretch anyway. But I was singing, and Jesus was standing in front of me, and nobody could see me. I am taking that as a promise from God, that that day is going to come where I could stand and speak or sing or whatever it is, and I am not seen at all. Only Jesus is being seen. And I believe that is a promise.
Yes.
That, you know, not there yet, but I believe that that day is going to come.
That's good.
And I think that's going to come for all of us here, is that the day is going to, that Jesus, only Jesus will be seen. When Jesus said, you know, it's not, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. That's a promise. And that's what I am looking forward to.
You know, isn't that interesting? That is a powerful dream. And yet, whenever that was, nothing about it tells again today. I mean, that's amazing. You know, I had this other place marked, and it wasn't fitting what I was bringing at the time, but it fit after what Charlie brought. You know, he touched on that. It says in John. I don't know where I was this morning when I put these markers in. I just read it. It's like I didn't put the marker where I read. Well, I wanted to... It's a... It's about when... it's a statement in John... And it says, and on that day, you will be, on that day, your body will be made as his, what was the word in front of his body? As his, in the likeness, or at, you will, your body will be conformed to his heavenly body. That's what it is. And I stopped and thought, now isn't that interesting? He's in heaven. He's God. But we're going to be conformed to his heavenly body. See, I mean, it's just those kinds of little scriptures, you know, they don't, how do they make sense when you say that he is? And then the other is, and then I thought, well, and then it was interesting. I was listening to the tape, and I remember in Luke it was given in the genealogy of Jesus. And it, you know, I never saw this part right in the beginning. It says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, and then in parenthesis, of course, maybe now there's parentheses, I don't know, but as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Because we know he really wasn't the son of Joseph, you know. But still, it's going to give the lineage. Well, at the end, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam, the son of God. Now, so here's what can happen. First of all, the reason that fits to, I mean, obviously, God formed Adam. He made him. And you know what? See, what we, I think sometimes what never comes together there. And what happens when you are born again? You are born again. That has nothing to do with coming out of through a man, through a woman, does it?
No.
You are reborn, formed by God when you are born again. By the Spirit. So, see, when you don't want, and if Son of God isn't good enough, and you want to keep making sure that he gets seen as a God, then you got to add God the Son. Because too often it puts us as sons of God. If you're a follower, if you're a, you know, a believer. So see, they knew, it's almost like, okay, how, you know, the devil. Well, let's see. Now, some people are going to go, hey, wait a minute, it just says sons of. And he's, so we got to come up, I got to give him something else. You know, it's, when you start knowing the enemy a little bit, it's amazing how some of that picture clears up. You know? God, he's a deceiver. And but you know, and the greatest gate in my life and yours, everybody's, is your mind by the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've been trying to justify why we even have one in a sense.
Mind.
Yeah. Intelligence. Why do we even have it? You know, it just gets us in trouble. But you know, I just said this. It came to me one day. It's like, you know, your intelligence is to, you're in this world. He put you in this world to live, and so he gave you intelligence to live in the world. But it has nothing to do with the heavenly kingdom that you're to become a part of. You know, right then the intelligence gets wiped out because it's spirit. You know, and so. It's just fun. All those little things, they just tie, you know, because my question was when I first saw it, Son of God, Adam, yes, because God formed him. He's my son. I made him a son. Just like I'm going to make every one of you, you know, in fear and trembling if you work out your salvation, you know, so it's, but the quandary is, oh yeah, by the way, big grown-up man, intelligent, maybe you got wealth, power, stature. Go back to being a little baby, would you? Mm-hmm. Go back to, well, and it doesn't really say baby. Go back to being a child, because a child can have understanding. And understand that the one who can teach you is the Father and only Him, you know. And that you, see, that's all the paradoxes that happen in Scripture and in the Word is, yeah, and you know what? You get mature, but you keep staying as a little child. See, that doesn't make sense to intelligence, but it makes sense to me in the Spirit now, you know? Man, I just love the fact that, and I, you know, that's the other thing, isn't it? Kind of, why did we not want, I mean, and I've conveyed this to people, someone especially. How can, if God is the creator and made all this, and you want to, and if you can get to the point that you believe that, how can you not think that he can do all this in you? How can you think that you can't learn from him? You know? Yeah, it's supernatural, but that's who he is. He is supernatural. Natural is flesh. You know, and it's always a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And, you know, like anybody else, there's times I really love my flesh. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know? But there's more times now, more times, that I love my spiritual man. And I love that my spiritual man is starting to really put a dent in that flesh guy. You know, because even if I do give in to the flesh, it's miserable. I mean, and it's miserable quicker than it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
You know, so you know what? Then I'm on the walk. I'm on the path. Because obviously, you know, we give in. But that's not the point. It's what you do after you give in. Do you repent? Do you see that you were wrong? Do you really not want to do it again? And you probably will do it again. But do you really not want to? I mean, truly. Yeah, I think most of us are getting to that place. And do I do some things that I'm not aware of? Yes. And maybe sometimes that's where discernment from a brother might be in order. I don't know. Or in due time, God will point it out. To, you know, He'll convict you in that area that's been hidden. So, and to go along with that, it's interesting how, you know how we like the story of Mary, you know, when she gets brought before and in adultery and everything else? And we love that God had all this mercy and grace. But you know sometimes what we don't see at the end of that scripture? And I don't know if it's in every gospel, but he says even to Mary, the one who he just stood up for, more or less, and go and sin no more. See, we don't see that. Go and sin no more. It's not like, yeah, you see, because what we get is, we love the grace and mercy, and we go, see, she was, look at all she did, and God still loves her. Yeah, he loves her so much that he said, don't go sin anymore. Could she have? Yeah, but you know what? Knowing Mary, she repented then too, eventually or right away, like any one of us can. But, you know, the point is, it didn't end right there. Jesus knew that she still had to go on living on this earth for some more days. So, you know, there was still the declaration, go and sin no more.
In the same train of thought, this thought just came to me when Ken was talking, God formed Adam, so he was born of God, the Son of God, and did that make him perfect? I don't think so, he didn't. So it made me think, you're born again, we are born again, we are formed like Adam. Now, this is like a question more than an affirmation. Is repentance a form of being born again every day? Can we be born again every day? You know what I mean? Do we repent? It's like being born by God again. Because again, being born again, when we repent and give our hearts to Jesus or however is it that didn't make us perfect. But that's how repentance makes us like being born again every day, like carry your cross daily. I don't know. And like the dream that Juan's dream, is not a futuristic dream. It's very present, and you know what? It's happened. It's happened because if anything that we've ever said has caused anyone to go after God's word, whatever we did or said, that person saw Jesus. It didn't see the speaker or anything. But in the future, I think it's going to be more evident for us to realize that. And maybe when we say something or encourage somebody to go after God's word, we may never know what happened to that person. So we might not know the end result. We will not know if they saw Jesus instead of us, our word. That's our goal, that we want people to see Jesus instead of seeing us. But again, it's not a future, it's not way out there dream. I think it's very close and present and in the past.
Just one other quick thing. This is just kind of something for thought too, and a bit of a question, but was Jesus the second Adam? Yes. So, if we are making Jesus a God, shouldn't we be making Adam a God as well?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, good.
years, doesn't it?
I didn't even turn around to see if anybody was coming that time. Because going along with that, with what Ron just said, let me read a couple of scripture settings. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now here's what it says in verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. We're talking about a man. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, there's those that are Christ that is coming. And anyway, I got to go down further in the chapter here. It says in verse 45, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How can that be? Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also which are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. For we have, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's a scripture that's in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and it says that it has yet not yet appeared what we shall be like. But it says, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And it's like, it does something to this, to some of these thought patterns that people have. It does something. It's like, one of the things that happened to me is like, what about the scriptures? And I used to think, what about the scriptures? What about the scriptures? When we were in this, I don't even know how to label the move that happened in the late 80s in this church. And I look at it and I think, I thought, and this is one of the reasons, the problems I had, is like, I know too much. How can I have condoned this thing? I know too many scriptures. And I didn't have anything like setting of scriptures I have now. But what you do is you just put them aside. You ignore them. And why? Because you start moving into a realm of the flesh and you like it. I was sitting here thinking, and I'll just kind of end with this, but I was thinking that, you know, the church system that is supposed to make us or lead us to believe this, instead has caused us to doubt this. And you know, one of the, when I first had that experience, one of the first things that happened to me, I was somehow supernaturally made to know that this is where it's at, and this is the only place where it's at. I was made to know that. You know what? That was beyond my understanding. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand it until I started listening to it and listening to it and listening to it and listening to it. I began to understand there's not any other place that you can find what's in here. And that's why God said, if you want to find me, or the voice said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am, and I was made to know that this is where he am. But I didn't really understand it because I had had too much time spent over the years critiquing the Word of God, analyzing it, to the point that I even believed what somebody taught years ago, that there's some of the chapters of the Scriptures that are should be changed around. They're not in the right order. Oh, yeah.
Let me myself here.
Oh, yeah. We're smart enough to change the order. Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No, I wasn't just babbling about everything. It was in Philippians. For our citizenship, this is in 3:19-20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I wasn't making it up.
Let's come up to the front.